When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Instacart's Deal Week is coming up from December 17th to December 23rd. That means you can get up to 25% off holiday gifts for the whole family from stores like Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, PetSmart, and more. And you can get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Just think of it as Instacart's little gift to you. And while we're on the subject, why not get a little something for yourself, too? Shop Deal Week from December 17th to 23rd and save up to 25% on gifts. Discounts vary. Minimum spend, maximum discount, and exclusions apply.
Perloff all in. Got his Brock Purdy for MVP shirt on. I know Brock was really the story last night, but way to support the team.
Played pretty well.
I thought
if Brandon Ayuk could just go to camp, then the Niners would have scored a lot more points.
That is true. Welcome
Sorry,
to the
that's
show.
An unnecessary shot to start after a big win for the Niners. But yeah, Brock Purdy for MVP. Remember, you were going to have to wear this for an entire month. And I have to tell you, it's a little scratchy, Maggie. That would have been what was the bet that if the Niners won the Super Bowl, you would have to wear a Brock Purdy for MVP t-shirt for a month straight?
A month straight. It was sent to us by a listener and his son. And they sent us two of them, one's hanging in our office, and now you've decided to wear the second one. And it was dominant by the 49ers. And good morning, everybody. 32-19. And if we want to take the 49ers part of this, no Super Bowl hangover, not one that I can see. They looked great last night, even without Christian McCaffrey, who was a late scratch. Who cares? Jordan Mason came in and ran for 147 yards on 28 carries. They mentioned on the broadcast, Pearl, that he had never had that kind of workload ever in his career. Going back to high school was the last time he had 28 carries. This is week one when everyone's gassed and can't catch their breath. And, oh, by the way, you're going up against the Jets defensive front, which supposedly was supposed to be a top five unit, and they got gashed last night.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets draft all these pass rushers, though. Like, isn't that they got the kid out of Iowa State, and they have Bosa. I'm not sure the Jets
Quinta
ever...
Williams. Yeah.
I don't think the Jets ever thought anyone's going to run over us. I think they were so concerned about we got to rush the passer. So people are killing Joe Douglas. Like, oh my God, you talk about the defensive line all the time. Then you guys got gashed.
Yeah, the Jets GM.
This game was in San Francisco. And the Jets, you know, Aaron Rodgers didn't have a preseason. Like, I'm not going to make any sweeping conclusions about this game. Like, we should have seen the Niners having a huge edge here. Just because the Jets lost, you know, this game and the Niners, I don't know what this... We should have seen this coming. Like, this is a road game where Aaron Rodgers didn't have a preseason. And Nick Costos, the betting expert, was on last week and said, be wary of quarterbacks who didn't have a preseason.
Yeah, but what about quarterbacks who are in year 19? I mean, how much preseason do you need for a guy who's seen everything at all times?
But the guy hasn't played it in 2 years.
No,
he definitely needed a preseason.
He's been off for 20 months. I totally understand it. But there was a reason why both you and I took the points last night.
Yeah.
There was a reason why we thought that the Jets were going to kind of here, especially when you get the McCaffrey news. And then you forget, wait, this is the same team that brought us the likes of Raheem Mostert. And this is the same team that you could say, I don't know if they even need McCaffrey. He obviously helps. They made it to an NFC Championship game and a Super Bowl with him on the team. But when you see Jordan Mason having this type of success where it looks like McCaffrey light out there, you do have to wonder a little bit for a team that's so up against the cap, for a team that's had such an issue re-signing their own players, the rush to give McCaffrey the extension and the new money, like, what was that about? That, remember, that got solved early in the offseason, right around McCaffrey's wedding, and it was like no issues almost at all, and everyone else is like, you know, Trent Williams is holding out for every dollar. Meanwhile, he looked great last night. Like, what was the rush to give McCaffrey the money?
McCaffrey has to be viewed as a combo platter, though. He's not just a running back. You're also getting a slot receiver.
Okay, you're also paying $19 million a year for
that. $19 million for a slot receiver is pretty good these days. Well, have you noticed what's happening in the receiver market? By the way, everybody does get paid. Pretty much, they did pay most of these guys. Now, they haven't paid.
Painful, though.
but Trent Williams, obviously. You know, Trent Williams didn't allow a pressure last night. Like, That part was just negotiation.
Yeah, that about dude doesn't guy. Need a preseason.
Talking about an old guy. I mean, he did have to get an IV at the end of the game, which is pretty funny. When he walked off, I'm like, oh, no, don't tell me Trent Williams is injured. But it turned out he was completely dehydrated, which kind of happens to old folks like us. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know, I'm a little lost here. But basically, Jordan Mason was great. But McCaffrey does so much more than any other normal running back. So I have no problem with the McCaffrey money. And it's not like they have him forever. I'm sure they can part ways a couple years.
It was a four-year extension.
But that's not really 4 years. That's on top of two.
I know. You don't want to get too in the weeds about it. This is a great win for San Francisco. I think that's the headline, is San Francisco looks really good. I was extremely impressed, not just with the run game, which is the Shanahan calling card going back to his father, which they talked about a lot on the broadcast. I was just really impressed with not just the offense, and Purdy looked good, and they scored on 8 straight drives, and it was a lot of field goals. It definitely was. The Jets did a good job in the red zone when sort of push came to shove, but it was a resounding win for the offense, and they look good. Then on the flip side of it, I thought the defense looked really good, and this is something that you had talked about quite a bit. What happened to the 49ers defense last year? They still made it to overtime of the Super Bowl, but this was a side of the ball that was 26th in the league in rushing last year. They allowed 68 yards on the ground last night to Breece Hall, who probably went number one in most of your fantasy football drafts out there. So I was impressed by that side of the ball.
Well, yes, but where were the sacks? There are a lot of times where early in the first half, no one was touching Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
He was totally clean. He was getting rid of the ball. Then when he held on to the ball, it was bad. I understand what you're saying. Like, it was great that they stopped the run, but it feels like the Nick Bosa and crew did not really get rolling so much. Were they causing any terror back there?
Well, I mean, I think they were pretty disruptive.
To Rodgers? I felt like they were not pressuring him a ton. They kind of laid back. The new defensive coordinator felt like more of a, I'm going to lay back guy. He wasn't sending any blitzes, for example. Broadcast kept mentioning that. So it worked, but the key to that was not their defense. They kept the ball out of their hands the entire game. When you have 9-minute drive, 9-minute drive, 9-minute drive, Aaron Rodgers has no chance of getting any rhythm. So it's a great strategy.
That's what you always want to do to the great quarterbacks, to keep them off the field.
So the Jets had the ball for 21 minutes and did score 19 points. I think the defense
is... Well, one of those touchdowns was massive garbage time with Tyrod Taylor, pardon me.
So the Niners were 8th in overall defense last year. We'll see. I'd like to see them. If they can't run like that and the defense has to play 30 minutes of a real game, is it going to be similar to last year's defense where they're good but not great? I didn't see enough from the defense to make a determination. Nick Bosa never really got off in that game. There was one missed hold call that they had on him, but that was a function of the offense. The offense was so great at controlling the ball.
Yep.
And I think they did that on purpose, too. They're like, you know what? We're not going to let Aaron Rodgers get anything going here. So we're going to be really conservative. We're not going to take a lot of shots. We're just going to run.
And they did. And they ran 180 yards on the ground for the San Francisco rushing attack. 38 rushing attempts, which is exactly what apparently Kyle Shanahan wanted. He said he wanted 40 rushing attempts. He basically got there, and they're almost averaging 5 yards a carry. And again, this is on should be a very good Jets defense, which, if you want to turn to the San Francisco side, of course, you're welcome to call us at 855-212-4227. Did you think San Francisco looked good? I think, Perloff, you kind of think no, and I think yes.
What? Of course they look good.
Oh, okay. I was misinterpreting what you're saying.
They just won 32-19. I just think that, we all know San Francisco's good. Did we see enough last night to say, like, this is going to be just one of those dominant San Francisco 15-2 years? I would slow down a little bit on that. I think they're really good. But if McCaffrey's out in a more challenging game, I don't think you're going to see 150 yards from Jordan Mason. There's a lot going on here. We all knew the Niners are good. They've been consistently awesome when they're healthy.
I was worried about the vibes, though. And I know people are like, oh, vibes. But come on, it's not like it was a banner offseason. You had multiple guys who had contract situations.
Two guys.
Two very important guys. And apparently McCaffrey, before he got
one very important guy.
Listen, I mean, with a different team, those Ayuk misses last night, and I know that's partly Ayuk's fault. I know Peyton Manning was not very pleased about Brandon Ayuk missing that one in the end zone.
Brandon Ayuk did do anything in the last year's Super Bowl, and they still were right there in overtime. I'm not sure. I actually thought to myself, like, God, why all that drama with Brandon Ayuk? They have so many offensive weapons and so many ways to beat you. Was it really worth the drama with Brandon Ayuk?
Can we hear from Kyle Shanahan, please, about the outside noise? Maybe it's people like me. We're talking about vibes. Didn't reflect the confidence he had in how his team would perform week one.
I mean, I'm with our team every day, so I know there's lots of news stories and stuff with holdouts and things like that and when are people coming back. But I mean, our guys have been awesome in practice. They've been very focused. You know, anytime guys don't get a lot of practice in, you know, I wish we could have more, so I wanted to mesh more with those guys who just got here this week, but being able to get four practices in with those guys, having the extra day, things like that was great for them.
That was Kyle Shanahan. Yeah, let's hear from the other side of the ball here. Nick, can I hear from Robert Saleh, and can I hear Cut 10 on why the Jets couldn't stop the run even though Christian McCaffrey was not in the game?
You know, they still have a stable of backs, but at the same time, it's a, you know, they're very, very good up front. And from an efficiency standpoint, they beat us up front, plain and simple.
Yeah, and that was very plain and simple. And the fact is, Robert Saleh was the former defensive coordinator for the 49ers and knows more than anybody exactly what Kyle Shanahan wants to do, which is run the ball down your throat. And you've got this supposedly good defense, and they were, again, kept... You know, did a fine enough job, Perloff, of keeping the 49ers out of the end zone. 49ers are only 2 for 5 in terms of touchdowns scored in the red zone, but could not keep points off the board. And the 49ers scored an 8 straight drive. So, like, you just were watching these field goals, and it was like death by a thousand paper cuts.
No, it was a complete domination up front. Perfect style, Shanahan. By the way, so the Niners started out 5-0 last year, and they have a good chance of starting out like 8-0 this year. But the second half of they basically run into Kansas City, Dallas in week 7, then Green Bay, Buffalo. So they're backloaded on their thing. They're going to have a great start here. So all that drama, we're going to say, why did we spend all this attention on Ayuk and Trent Williams? They're 6-0 or whatever. Because they, assuming the Rams are going to be injured, they have a pretty easy run here. But that being said, like, we know this is the Niners. We always talk about the Cowboys not getting over the hump. Like, did you see enough last night to say, wow, they're finally like going to break the Super Bowl jinx? Like, they're here. I guess it's hard to determine that after week one, but I'm thinking this morning, like, we should have seen this coming, right? Like, this is the Niners over the last 5 years.
Yeah.
They're still the same good team. They still have to stay healthy. Yeah. I don't know. I almost feel like there's nothing to see here with the Niners. They're really good. They're really good. But let's see what they do when the game's on the line in the playoffs. Kyle Shanahan learned anything.
No,
is something. It's important that they're that good. I was with you. I did pick the Jets. I'm not like saying like, oh, I should have seen the Niners. But yeah, I mean, they're obviously like they're going nowhere. We could kill that narrative.
Well, it just made me feel stupid. It made me feel stupid like how I felt the day after we came in here after the Thursday night game when I picked the Ravens. And I'm like, why did I do this? Because these are the two teams that, in terms of the Chiefs and the 49ers, I just feel like are the toast of the NFL. Yeah. And they're a class above right now. I mean, that's what it felt to me. We watched a lot of sloppy, inconsistent, you know, at sometimes bad football on Sunday. And I was like, man, really? The Chiefs seem like they had their acts together, and the 49ers really seem like they had their act together last night, and they were missing a major piece on offense. Now, as far as Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, I mean, this is just laying an egg. I don't think this means the season's over. I don't think that it means they were overhyped necessarily. And Rodgers is still very optimistic. Here he is agreeing with Robert Saleh, head coach, that the Niners are championship caliber, and he hopes to see them in the Super Bowl.
I would. Yeah. They are a championship level group. And I hope we see them there.
By the way, let me ask you this question. If the Jets play at this level, their next game is at the Titans, then Patriots, Broncos, and Vikings. Can they win with this level of play?
Yes. Against those teams?
I really think this was this was in San Francisco. I'm not down in the dumps at all if I'm a Jets fan after last night's game. You did get a healthy Aaron Rodgers. I did see such a relief when he walked out on the second drive. I think the Jets are in good shape. I know that sounds weird after a 32-19 loss, but if you could get Rodgers, that was medium to good quarterback play. When's the last time you had that in New York, Maggie?
Oh, that third drive, I was like, this is going to be a problem. And then it really wasn't. But
I was right with you. I thought, wow, if they could do a little more of this, oof, watch out.
You want to know what it was? It's because Rodgers is so good on third down. I mean, we were talking about the free plays and the touchdown to Lazard, and that came later on in the game. But he's just so good at 3rd-and-7 for the last 13 years. Mm. That has been a death sentence for the Jets. They had no quarterbacks, let alone receivers, who were capable of being consistent on third down. Mm. And now Rodgers changes that. Ryan Botcher is with us today in studio. We'll get to EJ in a moment. But Jets fan, you agree with Perloff? Are you on the ledge or no?
We're fine. We played one of the best teams in the NFL, of course. But I'm more concerned with the lack of depth on our D-line. For a team that got yelled at for stacking their 53-man roster with the amount of D-linemen, undrafted free agents, none of them showed up. And you have the issue with Hassan Reddick.
Yeah. Good night for him last night. Yeah. Not in the building, but a good night.
Is it good if you lose $800K?
Oh, losing $800K stinks, but he will make up for it when he eventually signs for $50 million.
Yeah, but either way, you traded John Franklin Myers to the Broncos for basically nothing.
Yeah.
And you didn't proceed.
That was a homegrown guy, too, wasn't he?
Homegrown, didn't replace him, and you expected everything to be fine with Will McClendon, who's like 180 pounds away. Yeah. So it's nothing's fixed. It's just the offense looks fine. You could use another receiver, but the O-line seems solid. And it's just, you know.
Maybe Mike Williams will play a few more snaps next week. 855-212-4227. So you're welcome to weigh in on the 49ers side of this or the Jets side. I'm curious what the bigger takeaway was. For me, it was the 49ers looking really great. I know Rodgers will be the story because he has a way of being the story all the time. But to me, it was about the 49ers looking really good. And again, with no McCaffrey, Leonard Floyd is a good addition, guys. Yeah. He is disruptive. And you saw him get to Rodgers last night in one of the few times he really had a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah, okay. This is where, and this is against my better judgment, I'm saying this. As an Eagles fan, I'm like, ooh, I noticed the Niners are dropping out in the zone, and I noticed that Bosa's not beating anybody one-on-one. I actually wonder, oh, man, that looks like a vulnerability there. They're not as, for 2 years ago, that defense was scary as all get out.
Right.
They dominated with defense, and the offense kind of caught up with them. Now it feels like the offense is a little better unit than the defense, and the defense is just like, all right, we're just going to hold down the fort, and the offense is going to win. So I did see a little vulnerability there. Like the third, and you mentioned Aaron Rodgers on third downs.
Yeah.
Like what was the defense doing? There was all of a sudden Garrett Wilson is being covered by a linebacker, and there's no pass rush at all. So the defense, I think they only had to play 21 minutes, Maggie. It's still a work in progress. I want to see them really challenged in a shootout. They have Kansas City. They have your Buffalo Bills coming down the road. I think they might have the Cowboys again. Like, I want to see them in a shootout. Are they better than last year? Because that was the only issue last year. Their defense just became a little bit less ferocious. So we'll see. I'm curious how many Niners fans totally disagree with me last night because it was a good win. Don't get me wrong, but they were only at that for 21 minutes.
I know. You're saying that you think this was a good win, but I don't think you do.
Well, I mean, I also said, like, to think that they're a little holdout from a wide receiver and a veteran. I mean, you kind of thought, did you think the Niners were going to fall off completely?
I didn't think they'd fall off completely. I have the Rams winning the division. So I thought they might take a tiny bit of a step back. Bowl hangover, Super Bowl loser hangover stuff.
Yeah. But that would
make sense.
I feel
dumb for saying that.
Yeah. I mean, I think, honestly, I'm wearing a Brock Purdy for MVP. I thought he looked awesome. I mean, he's not good in the first quarter, but I was like, wow, he's going to make a lot of money this offseason. That throw that Brandon Ayuk dropped in the corner of the end zone, that lob pass to George Kittle, the dude's got amazing touch.
Yeah, he does. If you want to watch Perloff wearing his Brock Purdy for MVP shirt, how long are you going to keep it on for?
I think I'm going to go to 6:40 Eastern.
That's not that much longer.
No, it's.
Are you really all in on Purdy if you're only going to suffer in this shirt for 40 minutes?
You know I'm all in on Brock Purdy.
Questioning your
he's
commitment.
He's such a Perloff quarterback. You know I'm all in on Purdy. But this
he's
is
too good to be a Perloff quarterback. No offense.
What are
he's
you talking
a starter.
About?
All your guys are backups.
Right now, I mean, Case started, I think, 4 full seasons. He's good.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, put Brock Purdy and Case Keenum in a room, you might not know who's who.
Fair. 855-212-4227. All right, your big takeaway, was it the Jets side of things? Was it the 49ers? I mean, Jets definitely underwhelmed last night. And I thought the 49ers looked really good. We know we got a lot of 49er fans in the house. 855-212-4227. All right, let's get it going. We have so much to get to today, including we get the body cam footage of what happened with Tyreek Hill when he got pulled over and handcuffed on his way to the Dolphins-Jags game. This stuff is pretty crazy. We also have some new disturbing allegations against Deshaun Watson. Yikes. these are different than the other two dozen women who are accusing him of inappropriate things. Has shades of those, but different details. So we've got that for you. We are going to have a lot of fun today, though, including we'll debut our rookie power rankings, Perloff. This is going to be coming to you every single week, and a lot more fun. 855-212-4227. Okay, football season is here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action while watching football. When I tell you Perloff and I have become obsessed with this, it's an understatement because we compete on everything. So now we're just competing on Prize Picks. And it's the most fun I think that we've had all season long.
Speak for yourself. I had Brock Purdy under last night.
Oh, silly. The app, it's so simple to use. You pick two or more players across any sport. You just pick more or less on their projection, and you can win up to 100 times your money.
On Prize Picks, you can still cash out even if the lineup isn't perfect and all withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. Not only that, Prize Picks is the only daily fantasy app with injury insurance. If one of your players goes down in the first half, Prize Picks doesn't count as a loss. Just some of the ways Prize Picks puts its members first.
Just download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MNP, Maggie and Perloff, MANDP. So easy. You get $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. Prize Picks. Run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. You can weigh in on last night's game, 855-212-4227. I think the Jets look fine. I have no problem with the Jets are going. This was a tough assignment going out to San Francisco. I think the Niners were pretty fired up, ran all over them. I thought the Niners is a little TBD defensively because it's a new defensive coordinator and the defense was barely out on the field. So we don't know exactly what shape they're going to be. Are they going to, it did seem like immediately he's a different defensive coordinator. He doesn't blitz like Steve Wilkes did. So what kind of, are they going to be a bend don't break defense, which seems to be the new thing in the NFL.
Yeah.
And it's killing every quarterback and every running back is going off, which is weird. So I think the Niners a little bit, some question marks there about what their defense is going to look like. I don't know. I'm fine if I'm a Jets fan. In fact, I'm a little excited. You got a full Aaron Rodgers game. You got 60 minutes, well, 45 minutes. I don't know when they pulled him, of Aaron Rodgers on the field. If you're a Jets fan, like, this is kind of awesome that he didn't crumble into a pile halfway through the game.
Is that the bar? I mean, yes. I think a lot of people are putting bars like Super Bowl and like AFC Championship. Yeah, you're lucky. You want him to get through the first drive.
Yeah.
After that, you're like, all right, this line can clearly protect him.
Yes.
You know, it's not going to be that, or at least it's not that for now. But you mentioned he was out there for 40 minutes. They wish. He was out there for 20 minutes of game time. I mean, they
Actually less than that, too, because you mentioned Tyrod Taylor had the last drive, a pretty long drive.
And, you know, they had one touchdown out of him, you know?
Yeah, I understand, but it's going to get so much easier. I mean, this is going to San Francisco, and the Jets have one of the top five easiest schedules in the NFL. I'm not walking. And Aaron Rodgers, to his credit, was not looking depressed at all after the game. I think there was some relief. You know, I can do this. It's been a long time since he's played a real game, Maggie. I think you got to give more credit to health. I'm not depressed. He has a connection with Garrett Wilson. Breece Hall is going to do better. Last night, they stuffed him. Things are actually okay for the Jets fans, which is something that Jets fans are not used to. I think Jets fans, I'm getting a sense here where in New York, the vibe is not depressed after last night's loss. And usually that's where they are. That's their baseline.
Well, yeah, I mean, Jets fans are just kind of naturally depressed. But here's another part of this, which is, you know, the luck factor, which this was an interesting one. At the moment of the game where the eye in the sky, if you will, overturns a Garrett Wilson first down. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that
one
was
that
big.
It looked like just a first down, and it's another one of these situations, toe on the grass, a toe on the out of bounds, right? So he didn't get the second foot in because he was out of bounds. So they overturned the Garrett Wilson first down. So that the drive continues, and the Jets can't convert on a third and one and can't convert on a fourth and one.
Yeah.
And this is when you're down 16. So you're only down two scores with 8 minutes left to go in the third quarter. Plenty of ball game left here with two scores.
Absolutely.
And
yeah, this is, that's rust, Maggie. They'll figure that crap out.
This is
that's tough. And then the meanwhile, on the other side, you get San Francisco, who got, you know, the interception of Rodgers, which bounces and ricochets right into the dude's hands. So you get a little nice luck or right place, right time. And you also got one of your field goals who doinked in. So, you know, it's like this game probably could have been a little bit different, a little bit closer. So if you're asking me why a Jets fan should not be depressed today, beyond the fact that Aaron Rodgers is upright, I would say you got a couple unlucky breaks here that maybe could have changed
the game. Well, you did have the officials on your side. That hold on Debo when the guy ran into the end zone was ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, there was how many flags in a row? The first quarter, the Niners got a flag on every offensive play, and then they got a call from New York to cut it out. The people are not liking this. New York was quite at the officiating booth. Did you notice? Troy and Joe kept saying, oh, they're going to go to New York on that one, including that Garrett Wilson first down. So, yeah, I think week one is an extension of the preseason. I really believe that. I think what we saw in week one is deceiving, and I'm hopeful for the Jets. I am not downgrading. I picked them to win the AFC East.
Yeah.
I'm not downgrading them after that.
Andrew Bogusch is here with headlines. It was eventful yesterday. I think that's an understatement. How you doing, dude?
Guys, I'm doing well. Your headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. So when did the Niners actually know that Christian McCaffrey wasn't playing last night? His replacement, Jordan Mason, told ESPN postgame he's known since Friday, even though CMC was questionable on the final injury report. Kyle Shanahan quick to say he didn't tell Mason that.
I never told Jordan he was going to start. Told him he had to be ready a bunch, but that might have been Bobby or somebody trying to pump him up, but I knew he was going to have to play a lot. And told him that he was going to have to, wasn't going to be like usual.
So then Mason had to explain himself in his own press conference, which he did not like.
That question right there is why I'm at. That's why I don't like really talking to media, because you say one thing wrong, and then, you know, I don't know. Just skip that question.
Okay.
I don't know if the league's going to do that. They're going to want to know. You have to report injuries like the correct way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not exactly the media's fault either.
Not even a little bit. Yeah. Now, and again, how often is Jordan Mason in interviews as a third-year player, backup running back? But this is not the media's fault. You were asked a question. Yeah. You gave a potentially bad answer for the organization. It has to be followed up upon. There are no free passes. There's no, no big deal. Like, he put his foot in his mouth. He's got to answer questions about it.
I love how Kyle threw Bobby under the bus. Pretty good.
Yeah. Well, that guy got a lot of airtime last night. He looked good.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I wonder, it is frustrating. So, for example, I did my prize picks last night, and I had not in the slightest clue that McCaffrey was going to play, because we made a big deal of him coming back at the end of last week. That was the headline. Yeah, it is. I get it. Why last night was a reminder why there has to be transparency. There's billions and billions of dollars on betting.
Well, of course, with prize picks, you're not going to lose any of your money because they're buttoned up and they do everything the right way, we know. And most sports,
well, they'll give you an injury break, which is awesome.
Yeah, even if he had
started, but I had Purdy.
Hurt.
Yeah.
Oh, right. You had Purdy.
which, by the way, it didn't make any difference. Purdy was awesome. I misread that situation. but it is very interesting. The need for transparency is more, because I think the legal gambling industry is growing like 5% a year. It's crazy how much money is going on here.
Yes, and I'm contributing to that in a big way. I'm contributing more than I'm taking out.
That's so generous of you, Maggie.
I know. Well, I want everyone to have fun, so I'm contributing to all the awesome people at the sportsbook.
Does anyone here believe that they did not tell Jordan Mason he was starting on Friday?
They definitely told him.
Oh, yeah.
They're definitely getting fined for this, by the way. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was no pre-game warm-up setback.
Yeah, no.
No one was surprised except us on the outside.
Very, very true. Yeah. What else?
Well, whatever the timeline, Mason ran 28 times for 147 yards and a score to lead those Niners to a season-opening thumping of the Jets, 32-19. Mason never had more than 11 carries or 69 yards in a game over his first two seasons. San Francisco scoring on 8 straight possessions before kneeling out the win. Aaron Rodgers did survive the night, throwing for 167 yards and a TD, but his offense only had the ball for 21 minutes. Now, this game was the regular season debut of Jason Kelce on ESPN's coverage, and the former Eagle center is one for one.
Future Gold Jacket wearer. He got a podcast that apparently is doing fairly well. And all that said, Jason Kelce is wearing a shirt he got at the mall because he left his travel bag in the truck. Left the bag in the truck.
My fits my belly now. I've lost a little bit of weight, but my d***s are still
struggling. Anybody want to spell the body part?
Don't do it. I took the class that we are required to take now from our employer about what you can and cannot say on the air. Turns out you can't spell curse words.
No, or you can't say them in different languages either.
I didn't know that. Also, yeah. I thought you could get around it by saying it in like Mongolian or something, and apparently that's not true.
So for those who didn't see this clip, Jason is wearing a shirt that he had to buy because he lost his actual clothes, apparently, and it doesn't fit correctly mid-chest. There's a couple of buttons struggling to stay buttoned.
Those buttons did more work than the 49ers defensive line last night.
Well, the running joke is they have the Eagles next week with Jason Kelce, that there's no way the Eagles let him get out of that building without wearing an Eagles jersey. Like, how much, I was curious, like, how much weight did he lose? Is he ready to go if Maggie's guy Cam Jurgens?
I just said he was important, and you guys are like, no, anyone can play center for the Eagles.
I issued a formal apology. I was wrong.
Leave him in Brazil.
I mean, they gotta get Jason Kelce out of that booth. Don't lose any more weight, buddy. We need you.
Yeah, it's like someone just brings a tray of like ribs and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or something to the set. We gotta pump you up a little.
Do you expect any objective journalism when Jason Kelce is calling part of an Eagles broadcast next week?
I'm expecting him to come in wearing the mummer's costume again. I'm serious.
Oh my God.
If I was producing that show, he'd be in that thing.
I think somebody at ESPN is probably listening right now, and we'll do that.
Yeah, you can have that one for free, guys.
I don't know if he'll fit in the booth. Those are those giant costumes that Philadelphia people wear on New Year's. I don't understand where they come from or what a mummer is.
Yeah.
But I grew up with them, and Kelce, you know, his wife went to my high school, too. We learned that from Sheil Kapadia.
Yeah.
So I'm all in on the Kelce thing, but he's got to play. Enough of broadcasting.
He's not bad at it, though.
I know, but Cam Jurgens can't snap the ball, Maggie, as you predicted. We need Jason Kelce on the field. Is that being selfish as an Eagles fan? I mean, do we really need him in that ESPN show?
No. No. Other broadcasters have bigger issues on their hands, including Tom Brady.
Meanwhile, there's good news out of Buffalo. Whatever is wrong with Josh Allen's left hand will not prevent him from playing Thursday night against the Dolphins. Now, far from all of that is Tyreek Hill. The Dolphins issuing a strongly worded statement last night, and a long one at that, to defend their wide receiver after we saw the body cam video of his traffic stop and running with police yesterday. From Sunday, we also know now that Hill was cited for careless driving and a seatbelt violation. Calais Campbell, who was on the scene after the fact, was in cuffs at one point, but was not cited for anything for that incident on Sunday. And then there's Deshaun Watson, a new civil suit against the Browns quarterback. It's from October of 2022. The incident is when he was still a Texan. Once again, this involves him exposing himself to a woman, asking for a massage, but then actual sexual assault after that as well before leaving the apartment. No comment from Watson, his lawyers, the team, or the NFL. We are a little more than 2 years removed from him settling the two dozen previous civil suits against him.
Yeah, this one's different. The details are very different. He was like on a date with this woman. I guess it was going to be like a dinner date at her apartment. And according to some of the details here, and obviously, you know, they're not great. He got really angry and upset with her on the phone because he couldn't find her apartment. And so I don't know if this like would resonate a little bit. It resonates, I think, with women. Like, so you already have someone who's acting really aggressively towards you on the phone, which kind of puts you off. And now they're coming into your home.
Right. And also, not that it's important, but it's a huge NFL issue because he's got this incredibly expensive contract.
Yeah.
That Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, reported in detail all the ways that this contract could void because, as you mentioned, this case is different than the other cases. So the NFL settled, kind of reached a conclusion on those cases.
Right, right.
But this is, because it's different, they can open up that contract again. And there's a lot of money at stake there for both sides. So this is just beginning.
Yeah.
We obviously will let the legal process play out here, too.
Yeah.
These are allegations right now.
But they're... they're bad.
And it's a civil suit.
It's not criminal.
At the moment, there's nothing criminal involved or going on.
But the NFL does, I think they did say they're going to have to look into this, right? Even though...
I don't think the league has done anything, but I mean, they can't not.
Yeah.
They can't not address it somehow.
We're going to have Amy Dash on later in the show. She's going to join us in the 9 a.m. Eastern hour. Amy's going to talk to us about this new civil charges against or civil suit that's being brought against Deshaun Watson, and also the Tyreek Hill with the body cam footage coming out, sort of if he has any sort of case, maybe against the police. That is we'll unpack that, because that was some startling footage.
Absolutely.
Switching back now to baseball, the Mets went right back to winning after their 9-game streak ended on Sunday. A 3-2 victory in Toronto with the tying and go-ahead runs coming on a wild pitch and pass ball top 8. The Braves lost to the Reds 1-0, so New York again has a 1-game lead on Atlanta for the last wild card spot. The Red Sox beat the O's 12-3, while the Twins were losing to the Angels 6-2, so Boston joins Seattle and Detroit at 3 games behind Minnesota for the last spot in the AL. Angel Reese is having surgery today for a small crack in her wrist. That's why her rookie season is over. Reese says she could have opted against surgery, but then might have dealt with arthritis. And Florida head coach Billy Napier says he will use both of his quarterbacks, Graham Mertz and DJ Lagway, this weekend against Texas A&M. Lagway threw for a program freshman record 456 yards last weekend against Samford, while Mertz was in concussion protocol. Skies, back to you.
Bogus, thanks so much. So we do have the audio of the body cam footage from Tyreek Hill. We will play that for you next. It's Maggie.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So obviously this Tyreek Hill situation is one that is continually evolving. You know, he got pulled over heading to the stadium on Sunday before the Dolphins game against the Jaguars, Perloff, and it was, you know, he got pulled out of his car by police. He was in handcuffs on the ground. We saw some footage of people's cell phone cameras as they were happened to be passing by the incident. But now we have body cam footage, right, which we were expecting that we were going to see. So let's hear a little bit of what it sounded like when Tyreek Hill had this altercation with these police officers who got very aggressive during this traffic stop. Here is Hill telling the officer to stop knocking on his window. This is with Tyreek Hill still in the car. He's got his very cool black Batmobile looking thing. I don't know. I'm not a car person. With the windows tinted. So the windows are super, super dark. And the cops knocking on the window.
Why don't you have your seatbelt on?
Don't knock on my window.
Why don't you have your seatbelt on?
Don't knock on my window like that.
Like what?
Why you have it on?
Okay. Now Hill is getting arrested after the cops pull him out of the car.
Hey. Keep your window down. Keep your window down. I'm going to get you out of the car. As a matter of fact, get out of the car.
Give me that.
Get out of the car.
Give me that. We'll break the window.
Get out of the car. Get out of the car right now. We're not playing this game. Get out. 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 What part of God don't you understand? Hey, Drew, I'm getting arrested, Drew.
Okay, so that's Tyreek Hill, and his cell phone kind of lands as he's going down. The officer pulls him out of the car, down on the ground, Perloff. He's got, they're handcuffing him behind. And the guy's got the knee in his back, and the cell phone kind of goes flying a little bit. And he's clearly on the phone with his agent, Drew Rosenhaus. So that's why you hear him saying, I'm getting arrested, Drew. I'm getting arrested, because he was clearly on the phone. Let's hear more. Now this is the officer yelling at Tyreek Hill, saying he didn't comply.
I'm getting arrested, Drew. I'm getting out, bro. Damn, twin.
When we tell you to do something, you do it.
I'm getting
out. You understand?
I'm getting out,
you understand? Not what you want, but what we tell you.
I'm getting
you're
out.
You're a little confused.
I'm getting out, bro.
Too late.
Chill,
too
bro.
Late.
All right, bro. Take too me late. To jail, bro. Do what you gotta do, bro.
We are. We will.
Good, bro.
It
hey,
is good.
Hey, Drew.
Don't worry about it. I hung up the phone. You stop crying.
More from the cops. Now Tyreek Hill is handcuffed. He's got his hands behind his back, and they're telling him to sit down, and he doesn't do it. They're like, sit down, sit down. And he's saying, I just had knee surgery. Please be careful.
Hold on, bro. I just had surgery on my knee.
I just had surgery on my knee, bro.
Hey, don't do, bro.
Back up.
Hey, call Drew.
Okay, so he sees Jonnu Smith. That's what he says, Jonnu. And Calais Campbell is also kind of behind him to the right. And then you see Jonnu Smith, and he's saying, call Drew, call our agent, call Drew Rosenhaus. Okay, there's a lot here. This is bad. This looks very, very bad for the police. And I think there's a lot of it, Pearl. But the moment when Tyreek Hill, so there is like a back and forth about putting the window down. There definitely is a back and forth between the cops and Tyreek Hill. He puts the window down. He puts it back up. They're banging on the window. He's not putting it down right away. And then he eventually does. But there's a moment where the window's back down. It's cracked like maybe 4 or 5 inches.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this one cop comes in from the side. And he's like, almost like, screw it. Opens up the door, like doesn't give him one more second, opens up the door and just starts yanking him out of the car. And that's where this thing, if you're asking when could it have been escalated or de-escalated, there's many moments when that could have happened. That was a clear moment of escalation by the police.
Oh, yeah.
He had not done it. I mean, at that point, he had just been recklessly driving, but he had not done anything, it seems, illegal at that point.
Oh, absolutely. And you can hear in the language, maybe the cops were scared, very possible, but it felt like they were trying to, at a certain point, it became a tete-a-tete, like one up, like, you better listen to me. The cops, some pride got involved there and kind of probably dented their level of professionalism there. I know that I read a bunch about this yesterday. They're supposed to at least attempt to de-escalate situations, and they did not here.
No, definitely not at that moment. Now, again, they are asking him to put the window down and kick the window down. And
I get that.
So there is like a moment. Listen, I'm not saying Tyreek Hill deserved to be thrown on the ground, put handcuffs behind his back, and then maybe even mess with his knee as he's like, you know, they're making him sit down, and he's saying, I just had knee surgery. By the way, they also knew it was Tyreek Hill. So you can hear a little bit on the footage when they said, that's Tyreek Hill.
Well, did the primary cop know it was Tyreek Hill, though? Because someone there knew.
The body cam, whoever was shooting the body cam footage, it sounded like it either came from him.
But the second cop.
which is the second.
The guy who's interacting primarily with him might not have known. We have no idea yet.
Well, actually, the body cam footage guy, now that I think about it, is actually the third cop. Because the first one is there. The second one is the one who got super aggressive and sort of aggravated and rips Tyreek Hill out of the car and throws him on the ground. And then the third guy is sort of the body cam guy. But anyway, if you want to say he didn't comply with police because he didn't keep the window down all the way, like, if I'm the police, I guess if you're saying, I don't know if you have a weapon in there, right? I'm trying to think from the police's side of you, because this looks really bad for them. But if you're trying to say, like, how could it get this bad? Maybe if you are a police officer, unfortunately encounter people who are armed, and maybe are you wondering because the windows are tinted that maybe he has a weapon in there? But they never said anything like this. They didn't say, hey, show us your hands. They didn't say, hey, what do you have in the car? It didn't make it seem like they were actually fearful that Tyreek Hill could have been like a danger. I think they were just ticked off that he wouldn't keep the window down.
Right. I'm sure they'll argue that, how do we know? I mean, the tinted window was up. There was no way for us to assess whether he had a weapon or anything.
Right.
I mean,
they had talked to him before. So they talked to him. He put the window down. Then he puts the window back up. And then they're knocking on the door.
If you took Tyreek Hill being an NFL player out of that situation, in the same situation, that's why I really want to talk to Amy Dash. I know that, and this is more EJ's purview about news. I know tinted windows are controversial here in New York. Like, that sort of legally, I think, changes everything, too. I'm curious. I'd like to, not that this go to court, but I'm curious what the cop's case would be, like, in this particular situation. They'd be like, well, he didn't roll down the window, so we got, I don't know what they would say.
Well, they're going to say he didn't comply. I mean, they've already come out and put out a statement saying he didn't comply. What I was really surprised by, and listen, I think that we obviously have to point out, we're coming from a place of privilege. I've never had an encounter like this with police, so I'm not talking from a place of knowledge here.
Absolutely.
What I was shocked by was the lack of time. Like, the cop's knocking on the window. Was it 10 seconds? Literally, was it 5 seconds that Tyreek Hill didn't have to roll down the window? And I get it. Every second matters if this is a situation where someone's armed or whatever. And I'm not saying the cops don't have a tough job to do in that point. But was it 5 seconds between roll down the window to no, actually, I'm ripping you out of the car? No time to even process. And by the way, he's clearly calling his agent. Like, that's what's going on the phone. EJ, I know you want to get in on this. Good morning, by the way.
What's up, guys? Yeah, I mean, this is one of those situations, unfortunately, I feel like I kind of hinted at yesterday that I felt like is what happened, is you have a person who's interacting with the police officers who is not perfectly compliant. Maybe is condescending in some of his comments about, hey, don't knock on my window like that, but is not breaking any laws, is not threatening in any way. And what we see too often in these incidents is non-perfect compliance to, like, very basic instructions, like roll down your window. I mean, his window was down before, so they saw what was in the car. It wasn't like his window was up the whole time. So he wants to turn it back up. I think he rolled it back up because he didn't want people driving by to see that he's being stopped by the cops.
Right.
So now, not saying that's not an excuse, but I think that's why he did it. So he's doing this, and then these incidents oftentimes, because I think you have an officer like Pearl Officer Wright, whose ego gets bruised, becomes so much bigger than it has to be. Like, there was no effort at de-escalation. And now we have this national incident that is unfortunately what we see too often in America.
The one thing, though, in EJ, it's well taken. He was speeding or something, right? So it's not like they didn't pull him over for nothing. Now, that doesn't mean you should get ripped out of your car and thrown to the ground. And also, you know, like, being forced to sit down if you're saying, I've just had knee surgery, you know, they know it's Tyreek Hill. Got to have a little thought there as well. But so he was speeding. He was cited for that. And then it escalated from there. But I'm curious for you guys to think. 855-212-4227. You've seen the body cam footage. We just played the audio for you. How are you feeling about this morning? Love to hear too from some police officers on that side of it, on what it's like going through your minds when you're making an arrest like this.